Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see folks out on Sunday morning in God's house. We're very fortunate here at Common Ground to have this barn to come to meet in, to get out of the weather. It's a good place to come and worship the Lord. You know, the Lord has really been working on me this week. He worked where it seems like I was under attack. It seemed like that a lot of folks, a lot of the families in our church were under attack from anywhere from health to car troubles to just financial troubles. You name it. God, it just feels like I just went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is going on? Is it just Common Ground? So I talked to some preacher buddies of mine, and it's something, I don't know if it's a phenomenon or what you want to call it, but it's going on all across churches in our nation. Folks are going, they're being tested. And I got to thinking about, it just kept coming back to me, Common Ground. Thought, man, what, you know, Common Ground, that's, yeah, okay, Lord, that's the name of the church, Common Ground. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, Common Ground. And I just had to get on my knees and say, you know what, you're going to have to tell me. I guess I'm just too stupid, Lord, to really understand what it is that you're saying. And he said, it's real simple. Is Common Ground common? And I thought, whoa. He said, you've got the name Common Ground on your church. Does that mean you are a common church? It slapped me right in the face. It was like ice water being thrown in my face. It just kind of shook me up. It just like, what is it about Common Ground? Are you common? What is it about Common Ground that brought you here this morning? I'm talking about the church, the body. What is it? Why are you here? That was the question that he brought to me. Why are you there? What's your purpose there? You know, it could be anything from, well, it's just a nice building. It could be because you live close. It could be, you know, you've got friends here that go here and worship here. You feel the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord Himself. You like the singing. You like the preaching. I don't know, but why are you here? So I had to ask myself, you know, why am I here? Me personally. And I had to do some deep searching and thinking in my heart and really analyze why I was here. And I came to the conclusion that I felt an unmistakable call to come here. I didn't have to question it. I remember when the director of the AFCC asked me to come and preach at Common Ground Cowboy Church. He said, would you be willing to come? I said, you know what, I don't feel anything as far as coming to Common Ground. I'm being honest with y'all. I said, I don't think I want to go. He said, well, will you pray about it? And I said, yes, I will. I promise I will. So I did. I prayed about it. I did not sleep a wink. The Lord just kept talking to me, keeping me awake. Finally, I called him back. I said, yes, I will do it. I'll go preach. The Lord would not leave me alone. It was something that I could not resist. The pull, the draw, the call that he had. And then when he called me to be the full-time pastor, I felt an unmistakable call to be here. But why? Was it just to stand in the pulpit and give messages from the Bible, the Scriptures, and not make a difference? not make a difference in my life, not make a difference in your life. He challenged me. He said, what are you really, really there for? Why did God put me here? It was a mission that I felt like God had sent me here on. To love each and every one of y'all. And to show love and compassion and to show the love of Christ. To preach His Word the best that I can under His guidance. Was I going to make mistakes? You bet. I've made a bunch of them already. Am I going to make some more? You bet I'm going to make some more. Because why? I'm human. I'm going to say stupid stuff and I'm going to do stupid stuff just like everybody else. So the question that I had was answered. I was able to answer it and say, Lord, I'm here to serve you and I'm here to worship you. I want to use Common Ground as a home base so that I could be a witness to this community. He said, but is your church any different than any other church out there? Is it any different? Is it making a difference in the community? Are folks saying in the community, boy, what's going on at Common Ground Cowboy Church? I said, I don't know that answer, Lord. I do not know the answer to that. Are you more committed? Is your church more committed? Is it bolder than anyone else? Is it stronger? Is their faith stronger? I said, I don't know, Lord. I really don't. We serve an uncommon, God. We are loved by an uncommon Savior. He laid down His life for us. That's not common. It's uncommon when someone will lay down their life for you. So we are called to be an uncommon church. Not like everybody else. We are to stand out, to be different, not look like everyone else, not act like everyone else. We serve a living Savior in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in 18:20, for where two or three are gathered as my followers, I am among them. So that means we're gathered here this morning. There's more three than two or three of us. So Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here with us this morning. And that ought to get us excited. So why are we here? We should be here to worship Him. We shouldn't be here just so we can listen to the singing and going away feeling good. What does worship itself, when we say, I want to worship the Lord, what does that mean? Does anybody know? Have you ever really thought about it? What does it mean to worship God? It's lifting His name up. That's letting Him know that you know who He is, what He's done for you, what He's going to do for you, and what all He has control over. Everything. It's speaking His name out loud. Giving Him praise and glory and saying, God, You're everything. You are everything to me. You're everything to my family. I would not be alive if it wasn't for You. I would have nothing if You didn't give it. You know, there's so many things going wrong in this world today, mostly because the world does not see Christians acting like they should and living like they should. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. From Monday to Sunday, we act our best, don't we? We go to church. We sing the songs. We try to act right. We try to talk right. We do everything we can to look like Christians and to act like Christians. But Monday through Saturday, is that the way it is? Do we live our lives Monday through Saturday the same way that we appear to be on Sunday? Evidently, the world is waiting for us to actually magnify Christ, for them to be able to see Christ in us Monday through Saturday. It's real easy to talk the talk, but it's hard to walk it, isn't it? It is hard to walk it during the week, at the job site, when everybody's not acting or talking Christ-like. It's hard. When they're wanting to talk about the boss, when they're wanting to talk about their fellow employee, when they're wanting to talk about their neighbor, their friends. Are we right in the middle of the thick of it saying, "You're right"? Boy, I tell you, I hate that guy. He's rotten, ain't he? Are we just like everybody else? If we are, our children and the teenagers, our kids are going to suffer for it because we're not taking a stand for Christ today. If you think that this world is bad now, wait, I don't even have to say 10 years, 6 months. It's going to get worse. Wait for a year, it's going to be even worse. And our children are going to be living in that time. Even if we're not here, they will be. This message this morning is a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call for me. It's going to be a wake-up call for you. It's to wake up all who the people who call themselves Christians. If you think of yourself as a Christian this morning, this message is for you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you claim that He has shed His blood for you, and you receive that, and you receive the Holy Spirit, this message is for you. It's a wake-up call. What are you personally doing to serve God? What have you done for God this week? What have you done for God in the last month? In the last year? Are you making a difference in this area? It always has to start small, y'all. It has to start where you are. You can't make a difference in the world and change the world if you're not making a change or a difference right where you're at right now when you're living your daily life. Monday through Sunday. We're not here this morning to keep our chairs warm. We're not here for that. We're not here because we have a comfortable chair to sit in. He didn't call us out for that. Christ did not save us so that we could be here on Sunday morning and say we're Christian and just keep the seats warm. He has a job for each and every one of us. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, the scripture says, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It's all right, darling, just let it out. I can talk loud. That's not bothering me. Don't let it bother you. And let us not neglect our meeting together as people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is near, is drawing near. How many of you sitting here this morning believe that Jesus is coming back? You think it's going to be a long time from now? You think it's going to be soon? When? I don't know. Do you know? No, I know you don't. But it says He's coming soon. You might say to me, well, Pastor, you know what? I am so busy in living. You just don't know what goes on at my house in a 24-hour period. You don't know what's happened to me this week. All the things that I've had to go through. How sick I am. Or how my job is not going good. You're right. I don't know each and everything. But there is one who does. There is one that has control over every part of your life. It sure isn't me. It sure isn't your neighbor. It sure isn't your friend. It's God Himself has control over each and every one of the situations and things that's going on in our life. You know, I said this is a wake-up call. You know, when I get on my horse and I'll gently ask him to move, I'll put pressure on him. If he doesn't move with just the pressure, then what's the next step? What use on him? Spurs. And when I touch him with those, I expect him to move. Anybody ever ride a horse that even with spurs, they just stood there? It was like they were dead. They would not move. I've seen some drastic things done to horses to make that area get sore. So that when you touch them, they go, oh, you know. I've seen guys take a piece of PVC pipe, and whoop the tar out of a horse to make his side sore. So that when he would touch him, he would move. He would get going. He would move his feet. We're at a time right now where God has been trying to move us spiritually. He's nudged us, put pressure on us. Did you move? I don't know. You have to answer that. So he puts spiritual spurs on and he rakes them, just barely touches you with them, expecting you to move. Did you move? I don't know. He really puts them in you. Or does he have to take a piece of spiritual PVC pipe and beat the tar out of you to make you sore, to make you sensitive, to make you look up? I don't know. I hope not. I hope we haven't got so dull to hearing God's word and God's spirit moving us in our life that he has to whoop on us a little bit to get us to hear him. But God is expecting a reaction out of us from this message. I pray that we hear it. He expects us to get up and to get moving and to get to doing what He called us to do. To love each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up in prayer all day long. And to tell people about Him and what He's doing for you in your life. That's what a witness is telling about what Christ has done for you. That's all it is. What you were like before you received Christ, what He's done for you since. That's a testimony. Nothing else. And you say, you know, I don't really know about sharing my testimony, Pastor. Well, I tell you what, it's time you learned. That's what it is. And it's something that you can do on a... He's expecting you to do it every day with everybody you come in contact with, that people will see Him radiating out of you. That was the thing that got me this week. Was I making a difference? Was Jesus' love radiating out of me? When people saw me, did they know I was a Christian by the way I talk, the way I act, and most of all, what I was doing? Was I being different? It's time we show the world that Christians are different, that we're not like everybody else. Not because we call ourselves Christians, but because they see Jesus in us. Jesus is the difference. He is the one thing that we have that the world does not have. Muslims don't have Him. The lost don't have Him. But we do. The only way they'll know. There's people that you know that will not listen to anyone else. They won't listen to a preacher. They won't come to church. They won't walk in them doors right there. But they'll listen to you. And you say, oh, you know what? I don't really think they will listen to me. Well, have you prayed that you could make a difference in their life? Have you prayed that God would use you as a testimony to them, that they could see something different in you than what they see in everybody else? Have you tried? Have you tried to tell people about Jesus and what He's done for you in your life? That's what God hammered on me all week long. Am I making a difference? That's the question this morning. Am I making a difference for God? Let's pray. Lord, it's awful quiet in here. I don't know if it's because I shocked the pants off everybody with the message, Lord, that you give me. I don't know, Father, if it's because the Holy Spirit has just really spoken this morning. That's what I pray for. Lord, I just pray that we start walking the walk and not just talking about being a Christian, but we would live the Christian life so that we could get the abundant life that you promised us. That we would let others see Jesus in us. If there's someone, Lord, that doesn't know you and doesn't even know what I'm talking about, but they feel the pull, they feel there's something that's drawing them to you, I pray that they would not leave this barn, Lord, without finding out about receiving you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help us. Strengthen us. Give us courage, Lord, because we get nervous. We get scared. Father, we really don't want to stand out. We feel like, Lord, that puts a bullseye on us for other people to talk about and make fun of. Lord, I believe with all my heart that you're worth that risk of being embarrassed. You're worth that risk that you gave your life for us. It's worth that risk, Lord, that we truly you starting right now. Just encourage us, Lord. Love, continue to love us and guide us and light our path for every step that we have to take from this moment on. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, if you're visiting here this morning, you're wondering, what in the world is going on? What is he talking about? It's something that needs to be spoken in every church in the world right now. And it's motivating people to start doing for Christ. That's all it is. If you're looking for a church home where you can come and serve the Lord, I pray that you would try Common Ground. I pray that God would call you to come and worship with us and sing praises with us and to just join hands, hand in hand, to do His work in this community. And that's the work, is just showing Christ's love in Cossey, Bremont, and this whole, all the surrounding counties. If you got a prayer request this morning, we got a prayer box back there that you can put your prayer request in. We've got a can back there. We don't pass a hat here. If you have a offering you want to give to the Lord, you can put it in that milk can back there. No one knows about it but you. It's just between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me or Common Ground. That's just something that's between you and the Lord. Are the kids ready to come down? Come on down. They're going to sing a song for us this morning.